All right, welcome to the Mid-Range Podcast. Today I am joined by Bryce Buchanan and Nick Geramonte, both a part of our community here. Nick, Bryce, how are we doing today?
Doing great. I'm glad to be back. Talk some ball.
I'm stoked to be here. It's a blessing, really, to be able to talk basketball. What are we 6 days away at this point? There's some exhibitions, some secret scrimmages that I think are important to get to. That I know Bryce was talking about. He wants to bring up some of the SEC results. So I'm excited to get to it.
Yeah, I guess before we get into some scrimmage talk, I will just make an official announcement that Bryce will be joining the Mid-Range as once a week. I think it's going to be Wednesdays with me and Nick, Fridays with Bryce and I. That'll be weekly up until football season ends. And obviously there's going to be some back and forth in there. Like maybe Nick hops on a Friday, Bryce hops on a Wednesday, whatever. It'll be fluid.
Yeah.
But generally it'll be me twice a week and then switch off between the two of you. And that'll be for the rest of the year, minimally. On that note,
kick me off,
Nick. I will give you an opportunity to just get right into what I think was the biggest scrimmage result of the last few weeks.
I'd argue years.
Yeah, so Kentucky absolutely killed Purdue in a scrimmage. Yes. I think a lot of people thought Purdue was a lock, top number one in the country. They get beaten by Kentucky right away. Mark Pope and the Wildcats look great in their unofficial debut. Nick, what did you see from Kentucky that you liked? And are you worried about Purdue at all?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think it just showed conference pride. Like it really puts conference tiers into perspective for me, where you look at an SEC team and Purdue's preseason one. They have all the hype. Like there's no way they fail. But when you just have a soft Big Ten team, it really puts into perspective how not even the best SEC team, in my opinion, can be able to handle by far the Big Ten's top team.
Yeah.
You know, we talked highly of this Kentucky team, and they obviously put $23 million into their roster, and Otega Owe is preseason player of the year, and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't necessarily shock me a ton. We saw Purdue lose in an exhibition last year, if I recall, and they did struggle a little bit out the gate. But I think it's more props to Kentucky than anything. And, yeah, it just puts into perspective, like, SEC is probably better than the Big Ten, I would say. And then if you look at if any team could beat a team from the SEC in a secret scrimmage, I think you have to give even more credit, and not even just beat, but handily beat. Like I don't know who could beat a team from the SEC in a secret scrimmage, not from the SEC. So yeah, it just put in perspective conference tiers for me.
Well, I think Nick, it's interesting you mentioned that of a team going into an SEC territory from out of conference and beating that SEC team. And we just saw that last week. Bryce, I believe you were in the building for Duke's win over Tennessee in preseason play. You saw Boozer Live, who obviously had this 24-point, 23 rebounds, something like that, masterful performance. What did you see with Duke? What did you see with Boozer that you liked?
Yeah, I think for him – and you can just say that he's already a step up ahead of the game when it comes to being a freshman. So, obviously, I knew how much he was scoring. And then I think I looked up and I saw that he had like 19 rebounds midway through the third the second half. And it just kind of – I was a little bit astonished by it because it was such a silent – double-doubled to me. That I did think that just shows how dominant he was in the win for Duke. But they've got a lot of pieces. They're super, super long. They shoot the basketball. Obviously, I don't think they shot, you know, very great, but they get open looks is what I'm trying to say here. And they had a ton of open threes that didn't fall. But you saw two really good basketball teams competing. I think what I was kind of shocked about was the ending score when it comes to usually in preseason games, we see more points rather than, you know, defense being kind of the key point. But I thought both teams defended super well in a very, very physical game. I think on the Tennessee side, I think, you know, Jacoby played well. He's going to shoot better as the year goes on. Nate came in and had a double-double. I think he's going to shoot a lot better. It's going to take a little bit more time for him to adapt to the college game's physicality. And I think bringing in Duke and will be a help to that. And we kind of see where you know, Tennessee struggles at and things like that. I think Rick Barnes in exhibition games likes to use a lot of lineups that I don't necessarily think you're going to see a ton of as the season goes on. So I think that had a lot to do with what we saw Sunday night. But Duke impressed me a lot. I'm not a big believer in exhibition games truly being a telltale sign of how good a team's going to be. But I will say watching Cam Boozer live, he's probably going to be one of the best freshmen in the country, if not the best, and he's probably going to be up there for one of the best players in the country. He's a dominant force. He's so strong with his right hand, and he stretched the floor too. I mean, he was really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought he looked a lot more in control of the game than I expected from a playmaking standpoint, like making the right reads, like you said, like a lot of open shots. A lot of the times Cam Boozer just picking out the perfect guy over and over and over. It was pretty impressive. I didn't really realize he had that in his bag to that extent. I will say it was, I mean, Duke won, but it was a little concerning to see them miss like 15 wide open three-pointers again in a preseason exhibition. And like, I thought it looked like it was kind of Boozer was the engine that kept everything going the entire game. And that's obviously going to be great for them and great for him in terms of individual success. But, you know, these successful Duke teams of recent memory have had overall squads that really are able to work together. And I wonder if maybe their surrounding talent, which has maybe been over, maybe we're overestimating the talent that they have surrounding Boozer, and that there could be more questions than we're letting on. Nick, what do you think about Duke, Tennessee? Any thoughts?
Yeah, the main takeaway was definitely Boozer, because whenever you have a highly touted freshman coming in, you don't know exactly what he's going to do or how he's going to fit and all that kind of stuff. And he was the reason that Duke won this game. Like, it wasn't a blowout by any means, but just being able to control the boards and really play at his own pace is very encouraging, and it just shows that Shire struck gold again with this guy. Obviously, the supporting cast still has some questions, and we talked about that in our ACC preview with just guys who played lesser minutes having to step up more. But they got a dude with Boozer. It's back-to-back years. It looks like they struck gold in the freshman class, and Duke's going to be good. And that's no sign to anybody, but I don't think you take too much takes away from either way. As you mentioned, it's an exhibition, it's a close one, and it's with two really good teams.
Yeah, that's totally fair. It's always tough, especially when it comes to exhibitions and it's your own teams, right? So like Bryce, Tennessee fan, obviously, and like, you know, like our teams had some big preseason games this last couple weeks, and I guess we can move on to those, and maybe like something that not a lot of people would be looking at on the national radar when it comes to our specific teams. And we can talk about OSU beating Ohio University by 30 points in their preseason game. And I just want to say on that, a quick note on that. We don't really have to get super into it. Brandon Knoll and Christoph Tilly in the front court are going to be difference makers for Ohio State. They both looked really sharp. Ohio State's biggest flaw the last few years has just been having no interior presence. Tilly is a big guy who plays smart, can rebound. Their interior defense is still not going to be exceptional, but their rebounding is going to be a lot better. They're going to have a lot more size on offense to find mismatches inside. And I do think this Buckeyes team, it looks really sharp coming into the year. All right. Is there anything I'm forgetting from an exhibition standpoint that we need to talk about?
I think they're
Yeah, I was going to go ahead and let you take the reins here and go ahead and hate on my SEC brothers in Texas.
No, it's not even an SEC thing. I would never throw conferences and generalize that based on one game. But I think it just goes to show that the Big 12 is the top basketball conference.
And what are we talking about?
Well, when you look at the Texas TCU, they had a close scrimmage, secret scrimmage. Not a lot got out of it, so I don't know what to trust and everything like that. But reports are that TCU did win that scrimmage 91-72, and I don't know if I've mentioned it on this pod before, but I am a graduate of TCU and cover TCU. This is massive for them. And look, I really go game to game in terms of how much stock I want to buy and based off these close scrimmage and exhibition results. But this one I take seriously. it's a result that tells a lot about what this TCU team is going to be. Brock Harding is looking like the best point guard TCU has had since Damian Ba, if you go past that. Mike Miles, if you go past that. Alex Robinson, like he's up there. 13 assists plus 20 from reports. Micah Robinson looks like he's taking the next step. David Punch looks like he's taking that next step. Like, it's just funny because you look at all this bracketology stuff and all these rankings and these preseason rankings, and TCU is nowhere to be found. If you find a single bracketology with them, even on the bubble, I'd give you a lump sum of favors. But yeah, it's encouraging. I do think this TCU team can really make a run at the tournament. I know we're not to the standard of your Tennessee or your Ohio State in terms of goals for this season, but I mean, if you're looking strictly at scrimmage results, I think you can throw TCU in the Final Four of preseason close scrimmages and exhibitions. Because if you guys remember, too, I'm sure y'all were locked in on the TCU-Tarleton scrimmage. They took 100%. Care of business there, too. So a lot encouraging. And look, we're nearly 2 weeks away from top 10 Michigan most likely coming into Schulmeyer Arena to take on the Frogs. And I think you could see an upset looming soon. So we'll see. But very, very encouraging from the Frog. Again, it's all reports, so who knows what to trust. But very encouraging from all reports.
No, that's totally fair. I assume no thoughts on Texas TCU, Bryce, or anything of note.
No, I mean he said it well. I think TCU is definitely one of those Big 12 teams that you got to watch out for.
Hell yeah!
With you know Texas being you know definitely a top team in the SEC, and TCU kind of takes them down in this secret scrimmage. Of course, that's just from sources, so we don't know the full story here, but. Yeah. I would watch out world for TCU for sure.
I appreciate it.
Definitely. We on this podcast, you heard it here first. The frogs are coming.
Yep.
The frogs are on the way. They're coming. They're Brock hard. It's safe to say. All right.
I liked your quote tweet, Jacob Weiss. That got me fired
I appreciate
up.
That. I know it did. I know you get fired up when I quote to you about TCU.
I do.
I know nothing. You don't love anything more. All right. The one thing of note from a news perspective that I thought we could talk about for a second is Grant Foster getting a seventh year of eligibility. Obviously,
yeah,
was.
That was.
What do you think? Initially, they rejected they appealed, and then they gave it to him. I saw mixed reviews online. I saw a lot of people being like, well, all the injuries, whatever. You guys both shaking your head. I'll start with Nick. What do you think about him getting another year?
It's just another, like, we can look at Windy Fingers. Like, what's Mark Few doing behind the scenes? Like, it's just Gonzaga gets the break of everything in the national media. And this is, again, if you look at, he played 3 years at JUCO, 1 year at Kansas. And then he had a heart injury. Obviously, thoughts and prayers with him. It was awesome to see his recovery. And then he played You play 3 years at GCU. Like, where does that extra eligibility come from? Again, he played a full year at Kansas and then 3 years at GCU. That should be your four. He took the COVID year. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously cool when guys can get this opportunity. And trust me, no one's rooting for Grant Foster like me. He definitely didn't put on a performance to knock my St. Mary's Gales out of the tournament a couple of years back or go to their rival this year. So it seems a little bit targeted towards Moraga. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it would have been – I thought the timing of when they first denied it was weird because it was so close to the season that why would you allow him to go through through all the off-season programs and all that kind of stuff if you were just going to deny him? So it kind of felt inevitable that once the appeal happened that it would have come back to his favor. So in all seriousness, like it does make sense. Like, I'm not shocked by it. The NCAA probably should have took initiative sooner on, and that's my only gripe.
It's fair. Bryce, what do you think?
Yeah, I think just in general with the whole NCAA, they got to figure out what's the eligibility rules look like. The player-to-player thing is something that's going to continue to be a mess. It either needs to turn into the, you know, five-year rule or it needs to stick to 4 years. It can't continue to be one player gets six, one player gets seven, and then – you know, this player can only play four. It's just going to continue being, you know, more lawsuits and more people trying to continue to get more years of eligibility. If they would just set in stone, or, you know, the rule and how many years you can play, I think it fixes all of this. You know, good for Mark Few and Gonzaga to get him to be on the team this year. That's a big plus for them. But, you know, you played your years of basketball. You played enough college basketball, and I know he had the heart, you know, surgery and stuff like that. And but, you know, like you said, he's played at Kansas, he's played at GCU, he played in JUCO before that. It's, you know, that's enough years to call yourself a college basketball player. I think it's time to kind of take the next step. But I don't think there's any way of stopping it until the NCAA comes up and says, like, you get this many years and that's the number of years you're playing. It doesn't matter if you're injured here or, you know, whatever happens. It's, you know, you get X amount of years, that's how many years you can play. So
that's totally fair. I guess on kind of a similar note, I'm not going to parrot everything you guys said. Definitely agree, generally speaking, that 7 years seems a little absurd. And like Nikki said, it's probably some backroom dealing by Few and Gonzaga that we can't even really understand, knowing that guy. But I guess it kind of leads us into a conversation about what's happening as well with European players and G League players coming in and playing college basketball. I think there was a little less uproar when it was just European. I think now that you see these guys that have been in the G League for multiple years coming in, it's really starting to become more of a conversation topic. Where do you guys sit on that, on players that were undrafted, never played a game in the NBA, coming back and going and playing college basketball after 2 years of G League? Bryce, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so initially I know we had conversated about it, and I was pretty against it, but then I kind of came to realization that the whole European thing is pretty much identical to what the G League guys are doing. So if you're going to allow the Euro guys to come and play after, you know, playing pro ball over there, I don't think there's a way to not let it happen if you're playing in the G League here. So I think until there's some type of ruling on that, you're going to continue to see it. I think it's not a horrible thing. It's going to make the game a lot better, in my opinion. You know, the better the athletes are in the game, the better the basketball is going to be. So I don't tend to hate it. I don't think necessarily coaches love it from just some interviews and stuff that I've been listening to, but they're going to go after these kids to try to get them on their team for the next few years and until something's done about it. So I think it's something that you'll hear a lot more discussion with from the NCAA and Euro and the G League. And from the track record of the NCAA, nothing's probably going to be done about it. And you're probably going to see a trend where a lot of G League players are going to continue to come into to college basketball after, I guess, declaring for the G League, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Nick, what do you think when it comes to these G League guys coming up?
Yeah, I don't like it. I think that should be the alternative avenue to do it. Like, you have a choice of, okay, I can go to Ignite X G League team and try to make the league that way, which we saw a lot of people successfully do, a la Scoot Henderson, Kuminga, XYZ. And then, again, the Euro route, too, could be the same exact thing, where, you know, you have, I don't know, it just seems like you're taking these opportunities away from these high school kids who go through the whole process of getting recruited in XYZ. I don't know, it takes away, like, what kind of makes college basketball, which is, like, yeah, these players are going to be better than a lot of these high school guys and traditional players, but that's almost what college basketball isn't. Like, you look for the fact that they're not going to be the best players, it's not going to be the best basketball, but it is what it is, and it's what makes March Madness and college sports special, where it's these amateur players doing it like that. Like, if you look at Santa Clara's roster, that's like half the roster. It's just these old guys. And with that being said, I hold my right to change my opinion if a TCU were to ever pull a stud European or a G League from there. But yeah, I think you can pull these European guys if they're obviously coming up and they are 18 in the traditional way of that we've seen in a lot of the past. Like, I grew up a St. Mary's fan, and they pull a lot of guys from Australia, but they're always like 18 as it happens, so it seems more traditional in that sense. But yeah,
well, Nick, and it's different too. It's different because those guys would be a part of the academy, right? As opposed to being like active members of the professional teams, which is nowadays they're not making a difference there, which is like Domantas Sabonis, obviously, who ended up coming over and playing for Gonzaga. Like, he had to not sign a pro contract so that he would be able to come to Gonzaga. That's not a thing anymore. So continue, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it should be an either or. Like, when you graduate the academy of either you're in Australia or Serbia or wherever the majority of these guys are, you know, going to, you should have a choice. I'll go to G League. I'll go to college. I'll stay in Europe. But to switch from league to league, like, it seems wrong, and it seems like what the NCAA should get in the way to try to avoid, and really, I don't know if it's corrupt, but it just seems off, and yeah, it just seems like something that should be happening in college basketball.
It definitely does feel like almost like a last straw of the proification of college basketball, right? Like, it's like, okay, at this point we're literally just letting pro players in. Like, we can't even act like there's any sort of difference between, it is a professional sport now, and that's fine, that's just what it is, but this is definitely the nail in the coffin on that, and I agree with Nick. I think both things are a little bit, it's silly that it's allowed in terms of Europe or the G League. I think people who are, like, getting furious about the G League thing, like, you see, like, Tom Izzo talking about it, or a lot of people online, and it's like, it's like you're being disingenuous having not called out the European thing, but then calling out the G League thing just because it's American versus European. But in general, it is a problem, and it is a little bit like taking away the magic of college basketball when players aren't amateurs anymore. I think it's cooked. Like, I don't think it's ever gonna, like, go back to being amateurs. It's just going to develop probably more so into some sort of professional system, which sucks, but that's probably the reality of it. But on that note, we can move on from news unless anyone else has anything else to say before I move on. All right, let's get into the meat potatoes of today's episode. So we've got Nick and Bryce on today to do our, let's call it the predictions drafts. So we're going to do we're going to do five rounds of contending teams and we're going to do five rounds of All-American players. And then come the end of the year, we'll say, if your team, one of the teams that you drafted, wins a national championship, that's, what would it be, 6 points, like 1 point for every round, and so on. You get like a point for making the tournament. We'll flesh out the exact scoring system afterwards, but we're just going to pick five teams you think, and five teams you think will win the national championship. And, like, you know, pick accordingly, like, this is competition. And then five players you think will be All-Americans, and that'll all be scored at the end of the season. It's going to be snake, so keep that in mind. If you pick first, you won't be going again until pick six. You would go 3-4 back-to-back. I think everyone knows what a snake draft is, but just FYI.
Yeah.
I was thinking for the first pick, I have a trivia question for the first pick.
Go for it.
I know Nick's going to love this one. What year was Southern Methodist University, SMU, founded? And we'll go distance apart. So whoever gets closest, you know, gets first pick, furthest gets third pick. All right, you got 10 seconds to think about it, and then I'm going to say ready, set, go. I don't know it either, so I'm going to guess too, and then I'll look it up, and we'll judge it from there. Mm. All right. Counting down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1870.
I won 1875.
I was going to go 1860.
All right. That's perfect. Everyone's near each other. All right. When was SMU founded? Oh, we're off.
I know TCU's around 1875. That's why I said it.
SMU was actually founded in 1911.
Wow.
So, and a plastic school in comparison to TCU's rich history, of course. Gotta love that. Nick went 75, I went 70, you went 60. So, Nick, you have the first pick. I'll be second. Bryce will be third. So on, serpentine back. Bryce will have the last pick at the very end.
Are we going teams first?
We're going to start with teams. Yeah, let's start with teams.
Okay. I'm going to go with the first pick. Based off the preseason scrimmage, based off the preseason exhibition, I think this team got some fight in them. They got exactly what they wanted. I'm going to go with the Purdue Boilermakers. And yes, you have Braden Smith. Yes, you have TKR. Oscar Clough is coming in from SDSU. You got CJ Cox. But the guy that I love on this team to take them to the national championship, what they've been close to, what they were there 2 years ago with this guy starting, Fletcher Lawyer is going to take that next step. And be the missing piece. I know he's been there, but he's going to take that next step to be even better and elevate to be one of the best backcourts in the country alongside Braden Smith. Give me the Purdue Boilermakers at 1-1.
Bryce, what do you think about that player? One?
The pick's fine. The pick is great pick. I don't think I can argue that, but the player spotlight, what do you want to argue? The player spotlight is where I'm a little confused. I wouldn't necessarily say Fletcher Braden Lawyer. Smith? No. Braden Smith's fantastic. He's a very good basketball player, but his partner in crime, I guess you would say, in Fletcher Lawyer. It would take a massive step for him to take them to him be the reason that they win a national championship. I think we know Bryce, who Fletcher Lawyer is at this point.
When it comes to Fletcher Lawyer, and I think Braden Smith this applies to as well, would you say that you trust these guys?
Yeah. Oscar Clough as well.
For sure. Well, I don't know. I don't think you really would say that you trust them much. I don't trust Fletcher Lawyer for sure. I maybe Braden Smith. I think he's going to be consistent. I think they like to break your heart if you're an opposing fan in the Elite Eight, or they like to break your heart if you are a fan of Purdue.
That's
as
true.
We see last year, as we see when they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson in the first round, and then as they lost the national championship 2 years ago to UConn, who was, you know, probably one of the more dominant basketball teams we've seen in a long time. But I can't go with the Fletcher Lawyer pick. Everything else you said, I agree with, but Fletcher Lawyer, I just can't. I can't get behind him.
The thing about Lawyer though is that he's such a great defender that if he's gonna be the best defender on the court on every night. And right. So if his
on Purdue, he might be.
All right.
Like, his offense against the athlete. But he might be an All-American. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. So we start off hot. We start off with Purdue and a strong case for Fletcher Lawyer. Honestly, with the case that you made, I hope he's getting picked in that All-Americans draft later. I am picking second. This is an easy pick for me at two, and it's the number two team in the country, Houston. I think they are the number one team in the country, if I had to say. Coming out of the best team in the Big 12, have been for 3 years now. Uzan, Tugler, you bring in, of course, is it Chris Sinak is going to start as well, who was a top 15 recruit. This is an elite team, an elite roster, and even though they lost some talent, I really think this squad has the top-end talent to make a run for the national championship. They are my pick to win the national championship as of right now. Houston, Kelvin Sampson, Cougars, what do you guys think about Houston at two?
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. Kelvin Sampson, he's due to finally win the big one. Thought he was going to get it done last year, had every chance to get it done last year, but just couldn't get over the finish line. I think with what they brought back and what they brought in from either the portal or the high school ranks, I think that's a pretty safe pick. If I'm not rooting for Tennessee and Rick Barnes, I'm rooting for Houston just because of how much I love Kelvin Sampson. So I love that pick, and I think it's a very, very safe pick, and they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, I love the respect you have for the 12, Jacob.
You went 10 first overall. So
I know I love the respect that we have for each other's conferences. Like I'm glad that I extended my my peace offering to you, and you returned the favor. And Houston, I mean, Miles Uzan is an NBA player. They've sharp, one of the best 3-and-D guys, and JoJo and the two freshmen, like you said, it's. This is a lethal team. This is a team that if I didn't want to do a bit, I would probably have picked them 1-1. if I'm being honest. But yeah, I think the most impressive thing is that since joining the Big 12, they've ran through it, and they've literally won a road game at each team in the conference's opponent's house, except for one place. So that's impressive on its own, and I think whenever you have that pedigree going for you, it's elite in the 12.
That's fair. Yeah, I think they're the best team in the Big 12, have been for years. I'm not sure what that unknown away arena you were talking about was. I'm sure that's a team they we'll can't get to win in this draft. But we'll see where that goes. That's my pick. We got Houston at two. Bryce, going to you for three and four, but go ahead and give us three first.
Yeah, I think like we had and we talked about in our last podcast, I'm super high on Florida. They're going to be my third pick. I think with what they brought back in the front court with Alex Condon and Ruben Chinyelu and Thomas Hawk and Micah Hanlock in off the bench, you're looking at probably the best front court in the country. I mean, they were one of the best last year, if not the best, and you bring everybody back. And then in the portal, you get Boogie Flan, who obviously was injured majority of last year, but when healthy played, you know, extremely well. I think he averaged 14 points, 5 assists, somewhere around there. And then you bring in Xavier Lee from Princeton. So I think if those two backcourt guards mesh and they can – just give you, you don't have to be Walter Clayton or Will Richards or Elijah Martin. You just got to be, you just got to be half of what they are. You're looking at a really, really good basketball team. And I love Florida this year. They're my number one team going into the year. And that's not even having any SEC bias. Man. No, and as a Tennessee fan, I do not like Florida at all. But you gotta, you know, they're good. They brought in a ton more as well, and AJ Brown, Isaiah Brown, Urban Clapsar. We didn't even get to see much of him last year, but I think we're gonna, from what I've been reading in some articles and stuff, I think he's played well in the secret scrimmages that they've held. And, I'm a big fan of Todd Golden as a basketball coach, solely as a basketball coach.
And a person.
And a person.
But no, I think Florida, yep. But I think Florida is the best team in the country, and until someone, you know, beats the defending champs, I'm all for Florida winning it all again.
That's fair. I know you really went to bat for him on the pod we did last Friday. Florida's awesome. I think they're going to be really good, and maybe I'm being silly and not having them in that elite tier, but I think they're not necessarily the first SEC team I would pick. Don't want to tip anything, because I know you guys have no idea who I'm thinking of, but
no idea.
I don't know. What do you think, Nick, with Florida? Are you in on Florida? I know you love Todd Golden as a coach and a person. What do you think?
Yeah, I do love Florida. I just think the backcourt of Thomas Howe and Alex Condon are two guys that just go perfectly together. They're two guys that have national championship experience, and I think guys you can trust there. And when you add a Boogie Flynn and Xavier Lee, like, that backcourt's going to be rebuilt. I know that's probably the question, is a rebuilt backcourt, and can they live up to the names that you mentioned with Clayton, Martin, and Richard. But you got to give the reigning national champs the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that. When they return enough already, I think it'd be silly to have to not have confidence in them. You know, you gotta beat the champ to be the champ, and Todd Golden's definitely got that foundation at his alma mater, and he's carried that all the way to the SEC. So I'm all for Florida. I like them as my top team in the SEC as well.
All right, so Florida goes 3 overall. Bryce, why don't you just round it out with your fourth pick as well?
Yeah, I'm going to just continue down the AP poll here, and we're going to go UConn. We talked about it a lot on the last pod. I'm a big fan of really good basketball coaches, and Dan Hurley's a really good basketball coach. I think he was very, very disappointed in how last year went, and not getting the three-peat. I think he was really shooting to do that, and I think this year he's shown, and who he's brought in from the portal and who he's kept, and, you know, Alex Caravan and Solo Ball and Terrace Reed Jr. and then you bring in Silas Demery from Georgia. I think UConn has a really good team this year. I think the Big East is going to be a very top heavy conference, but I think they're the best team in the Big East for me right now going into the year. And I could see them cutting down the nets in April, just because of who Dan Hurley is and how he coaches and what he expects out of his players. I don't think we'll see a repeat of what we saw last year and them being, I believe it was an 8 seed and losing in the second round. I think we're going to see them as a top, you know, 2 seed, and definitely going for that 1 seed and then cutting down the nets in April.
That's right. Nick, where are you at with UConn?
Oh, I love UConn. Anytime you have a coach who was in discussions to coach the greatest basketball player of all time, and LeBron James, I think you have a real star there. And obviously, back-to-back natties just 2 seasons ago. And, you know, he's nailed the portal, bringing in guys like Aiden Mahaney last year and really revitalizing that backcourt and keeping it going. And then you just followed up with Caravan still there. You know, he kept the guys that he wanted, Solo Ball and Terrace Reed, bringing in Demery and guys like that, as you said. Like, this is a loaded roster. And I think if you give Hurley the guys he wanted with less turnover than last year, I think you're going to see success. And, yeah, I like them to lead the Big East as well.
I got a trivia question for you, Bryce. Nick already knows this one because I already hit him with it on our Big East episode. But how many times has Dan Hurley been to the Sweet 16?
Oh, Let's see. I'm going to go three times. This is a total guess.
He's been twice.
Really?
He's been twice. Wow. He's only been to the Sweet 16 in the 2 years UConn won the national championship. It's a stat that you could be like, man, this guy, you give him a team of that quality, he's going to take them all the way. I'm a little more hesitant with UConn, I think. I don't have them as my favorite in the Big East, and I think since it's my pick here, I'm just going to go right into mine, which is St. John's. I think St. John's are going to be awesome this year. Rick Pitino at the helm. Well, you know, you got Ozias Sellers coming in from Stanford. He's a guy who's going to spread the floor for him. Justin Sannon is an elite young player who reclassified last year, was a five-star recruit a couple years ago. Bryce Hopkins comes in from Providence. He was a guy who was an all-Big East player last time he was healthy. Zubi Ejiofor is going to be an All-American candidate, a Player of the Year and the Big East candidate, maybe a National Player of the Year candidate if he reaches his full potential. He's a monster on the inside. And I think what Nick's getting at here is there's one player in particular that I'm very high on, and that's Ian Jackson. And Bryce, I don't know if you know what they call him. They don't call him Ian Jackson. They call him In Jackson because every shot he takes goes in. That's a guy who's going to be massive for St. John's basketball. Okay. Give me Rick Pitino and a team. And I will say this, Rick Pitino with the most talented team in the country. Give me that lineup going to the Final Four and winning a national championship, or at least getting damn close this year. I'll go with St. John's and the Red Storm with my second pick. Nick, why don't you talk a little about In Jackson?
Oh, In Jackson's the best, man. In Jackson, he had a run at North Carolina last year, what, about 6 or 8 games where he dropped like over 28 points a game there. And I think he was kind of held back by Hubert Davis Little and just kind of the guys that were on that North Carolina team, just stacked team. Like, he's going to be able to flourish. I know he hasn't been starting in these scrimmages and stuff like that, but he's going to be the perfect, if he starts or not, just bucket. And I think he's going to put up points. And you know, Rick Pitino's known for his 15 seconds of offense. He gets quick offense up and down the court, and that'll allow In Jackson to really flourish. And obviously, when you have a guy like Zubi, it's just such a luxury because he was so unbelievable last year, and to be able to return a guy like that is so rare in today's game, and that already gives St. John's such a high ceiling as it is.
Yeah, to kind of go with that, and I think last year you saw a really good defense from St. John's, and this year you're going to see a really good defense with a really good offense. The only reason I don't have St. John's over UConn is just the amount of new players that they brought in. And I think as they gel and as the season goes on, they're going to be right there. But Rick Pitino expects certain types of play from his players. I think you can see that from, you know, RJ Lewis last year when he benched him against Arkansas. I think in one of the scrimmages this year, I think he didn't start Bryce Hopkins, maybe it was, or was it Zubi? One of the two. I can't remember which one it was. It was in Jackson. Yeah. he expects a lot from his players. So
for sure.
How quick do they adapt to that type of coaching? And how quick can that team mesh? If they do though, you're looking at one of the best teams in the country. Hands down, from a talent perspective, they're right at the top. So that's a really good pick.
Do we think 100%. Pitino was involved at all in the NBA gambling scheme with Billups with the Celtics, and then obviously Coach Terry at Louisville? I don't know.
I would hope.
I love Pitino.
And we would hope Pitino's a guy who's never been in the news for anything questionable. So you think he's a guy who really keeps his nose clean. So I'm probably not going to put that on him just because he's Italian.
I'm not either. I'm not either.
Yeah.
Because you, Nick, you are Italian. And I know how much that hurts you when people judge your culture.
Genuinely, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to say it's a possibility, but on that note, Nick, why don't you go ahead and give us your second overall pick in the sixth of the draft?
I'm going to take the team that beat my number one team in an exhibition, because I hold so much weight to these exhibitions and these scrimmages. And I just think what's awesome about Kentucky is that you start at Patino, and then it leads down to Cal. Just the foundation there is set. Adolph Rupp and all those guys just leaving a legacy. And Mark Pope's carried it. Mark Pope's obviously a guy that's had so many NCAA tournament wins. And he's got a stacked roster again, obviously richest roster in college basketball from what reports say. Otega Owe, they've BG, Brandon Garrison, Diabate, Jalen Lowe, Jane Quainton. Like, you can go up and down with guys on that roster. They're so deep. I do think that it worried me a little bit with the amount of options and guys that they had, how much they'd mesh right away. And obviously you can only take so much from an exhibition, whether you want to take a ton or a lot, but I'm going to choose to take a ton from that Purdue game. Like, they were ready to go, and it seems like they're going to be a dangerous squad.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kentucky's going to be really good. I think if I wanted to go a little off the top picks for my national champion, they would be my pick. I think they're going to win the SEC. And also, thank you, Nick, for ensuring that we didn't just go 1 through 6 in the AP poll for our first 6 picks, because I was a little worried that was about to happen.
Where's Kentucky at in the AP?
9th.
Oh, there we go.
So you're going a little, you're switching it up a little bit, which I appreciate, because that was making me nervous. Bryce, I know you're a guy who maybe has a little more questions with Kentucky. Where are you at with this pick? Do you think they're a top 6 national championship contender?
Yeah, I think they can be. I think with the amount of turnover they had from last year, my biggest thing was how quickly they were going to mesh with, Mark Pope's style of play and what they did and with to Purdue without two players in Jalen Lowe and Jaden Quinton. It's was pretty impressive, I will say, with it being just an exhibition game. Jasper Johnson, the freshman, is outstanding. He is a really, really good basketball player, and I think he's going to be one of those guys that, as the year goes, he's going to be very, very, much. He's going to be talked about a lot. So I think I'm a little higher on Kentucky than I was the last time we spoke on Friday's podcast, just from seeing them in the exhibition game. And I'm not the type of guy that usually takes away a lot from exhibition just because it is an exhibition, but with that amount of turnover and how they played against that Purdue team, and it was never really close. They kind of just kept it at that double digit or, 7 to 10 point margin the whole game. I'm a little bit higher on them than I was. So I like this team. I think when they get healthy, they're going to be really scary. And with how much they spend on the roster, there's no reason they shouldn't be. But one thing I will say, pretty much we can go ahead and call the season, because Kentucky Twitter has already crowned themselves champions this year with how they looked in Friday's exhibition. So there's not really a point in playing this year. I'm not even sure why we're doing this draft, because they're already champions. That was their championship. So I'm not really sure why we're playing, because we watched the championship game on Friday. So
100%. You gotta love two of the most toxic fan base social medias going up against each other early season, and you got Purdue Twitter being like, "This game means more." They tried to come after Braden this summer, like, "This means so much." And then Kentucky wins and starts getting outlandish, and then Purdue fans are like, "You really think we cared about that?"
Yeah,
really
exactly.
Think we gave a shit about that. That's scrimmage.
Yeah. Well, the thing I love about Kentucky, too, is that their football team sucks. So it's like – so this is what they care about. And like, you have
that is – and that is one thing you got to love about Kentucky, is that their football team sucks.
Like, if there's one thing to admire about Kentucky, is that. And, they love their hoops there. And it's cool to see.
Yep, saw the football team firsthand on Saturday. So yeah, I can agree that they do suck. We beat them pretty bad. So yeah.
And you gotta love that, right?
Absolutely. The worse they are, the better for me in all sports.
I love it. Love it. All right, Nick, round us off of pick 7 here.
I'm I'm going to go with a team from the 10. And you may be thinking, oh, we're talking Wolverines, or we're talking Buckeyes, or we're talking UCLA. I'm going to go with Illinois. I love the Ivicic bros. When you already have Tomislav Ivicic, who's one of the best players in the conference, if not the country, it really opens eyeballs to what this team could do in an Underwood offense. And then you add Big Z. Big Z is coming over. He's already got that chem there. And he's a guy who's been with Calipari 2 years. You know what being with John Calipari does for you as both a basketball player and a man. And he was with him at Kentucky and Arkansas. So you have to love what you see out of Illinois. And then you get a guy who has who is with Arizona, was already there last year, and Kylan Boswell, who I love, Ben Humrickas. And then you got Andre Selakovic from Cal. Like, they're deep. And I just really love the style Illinois plays, and I think their roster is perfect for where they have all these names from different countries and all that kind of stuff, but it's worked for them. And I think this is exactly the right fit for Underwood, and I really do am buying into what Illinois could do.
That's fair. Bryce, where are you at with Illinois? Obviously, they didn't really come up when we talked. Nikki and I have talked about them a bit, but love to hear your thoughts.
I'm not as high on Illinois as Nick is, but I do think with the pieces that they brought back and the pieces that they added from the transfer portal and Andre Stojakovic and Big Z, who can finally see, apparently he couldn't see for the past 2 years. Not sure how you play without seeing, but good for him that he can see. And then you have his brother. Illinois is going to be really good. Brad Underwood's a really good coach. He is a big believer in the Euro style of play. Obviously, I feel like every name on his team is from not in America. But Kylan Boswell coming back, that was huge for them. He's a really good point guard, and so I'm not as high as Nick is from a standpoint of national contenders, but I definitely think they're going to be in that tier with Michigan and I think it's Michigan and Illinois, and I think for me right now Purdue's kind of on their own tier, but I think they're one step back with the Michigan, Illinois, UCLA,
with the Buckeyes,
Buckeyes and things like that. So,
of course. What I like about Nikki is we're picking teams for March, and he's got Purdue, Kentucky, and Illinois, who are just three teams that always rock in March. Never disappoint. And that's you gotta feel good about those squads come that tournament at the end of the year. All right, I'm gonna go against the pick that I made on our ACC podcast a few weeks ago, because I think I've changed my mind, and I think Louisville. Big? No, I think Louisville is gonna win win the ACC. I think they're better than Duke this year, and I think that they are a top 10 team, and the fact that they're at 11 means nothing to me. They are full of talent with Mikael Brown is a five-star freshman coming in. You got Conwell, who I think is my pick for ACC player of the season. You've got Woolley coming in from Kennesaw State, who was one of the best players in mid-major last year, along with some psychos up front. I love Louisville this year. I love Pat Kelsey. The turnaround he had with this team last year was unreal, with a solid roster, not necessarily anything too crazy. This team has talent, like legit talent, five stars, proven great players in college basketball, both at the Power 5 and mid-major level. Give me all the stock with Louisville. Give me all the stock with Pat Kelsey. I think they are legit national championship contenders, and I'm going to pick them alongside Houston and St. John's.
I love it. I love your passion for the ACC.
I do. I sneaky do like the ACC this year. I will say that.
I love your passion for it.
I think that's a really good pick. I think Pat Kelsey has built a really good team this year. Mikael Brown, Isaac McNeely, Ryan Conwell, they all mesh and play in that Pat Kelsey system. I think Louisville and Duke kind of set the standard of the ACC this year, and they're going to be right there contending with Duke. And you know, if they're contending with Duke, then why can't they contend with anyone else in the country? So I could very well see them being in that second weekend in that Elite Eight round, going to that Final Four. So I'm also very high on Pat Kelsey's team.
Yeah, and it's give me the 5-star guard surrounded by sharpshooters with interior guys that can defend. It's the perfect build for a roster, and I love Louisville this year, and they're a team that I gotta go all in on here in the draft, and I gotta take my team right here. And Bryce, you're up, pick 9.
I'm gonna go. Let's go to the Big 12. Let's go BYU. I am a huge fan of AJ Diabonsa. Him and Caleb Wilson going at it last Friday was must see TV. Then you bring back Richie Saunders, and you bring in Robert Wright III, and you bring back their big. I always mess up his name. Is it Kiba Kieta? Kita? However you say
his
name.
Kiba Kieta.
That's how you say it. He's a force. He's not a very big when it comes to size from a height standpoint, but he's a physical force down low. I don't put a ton of stock in exhibitions. I know I always say this, but I loved what I saw from them last Friday, and I've been high on them all year, all preseason. So I'm excited. They were really good last year. I think they shocked a lot of people last year, and I think they brought in more this year. I mean, they paid Robert Wright a lot of money. They paid AJ Diabonsa more money than that. So they brought in a lot of talent, and I think it's all going to mesh this year. And I could see them cutting down the nets in April. I'm super high on BYU.
I think they totally have the talent to do it. They have unreal talent up and down the roster. I think I have a lot of questions about their defense and how it's going to look with if DeBanza doesn't lock in defensively. I'd be worried about them being like a really leaky team, and I don't love that come March. But from an offensive perspective, and just from a fun perspective, that team's going to be awesome. And you know, it couldn't have happened to a better school than BYU. So
couldn't have happened to a better school. I think the big headlines are going to be the DeBanza and Rob Wright additions, and rightfully so, because those are massive. But what's not being said enough is, like, Richie Saunders is one of the best players in the Big 12, if not the country, especially towards the end of last season. And they retain him, along with role players like Dawson Baker and, like you mentioned, Kata. It's not just the headlines, and DeBanza doesn't he was in the exhibition like their best player, but he doesn't have to play hero on every night, and I think that's what's very assuring to buy stock in this team. And I'm all in on BYU, like you said, is too. I also love Kevin Young. Like, Kevin Young is going to be the perfect fit for putting guys in the league. Obviously, his NBA experience, and I think it's going to be a perfect fit. I'm shocked though. Like, there's an orange team from the SEC that's just like hanging there for somebody to pick. So I'm honestly shocked they're still around.
Well, they just lost an exhibition to TCU, so I don't know if you'd really pick them. But
yeah, UT did. UT did.
Oh. All right, Bryce, why don't you let us have it with that with your next round pick?
And don't feel pressure. Don't right on cue. This was my pick from the get-go. Give me the Volunteers. This is the year that we break the Elite Eight barrier. We're going to the Final Four. And when Rick Barnes – well, he didn't do it at Texas when he didn't make the Final Four. But I've said it all along, if we make a Final Four, we're winning it all. Give me Tennessee. Give me Jacoby Gillespie, the best point guard in the SEC. Give me Nate Amendt, who is going to be one of the best wings in the SEC. Give me one of the best front courts in the SEC, and Felix Okpora and Cade Phillips. And nobody's heard of JP Estrella yet. We didn't unleash him on Sunday as much as I thought we would, but he's coming back from injury last year. JP Estrella, Jalen Carey, and Dwayne Brown, freshman from Alabama, Gatorade Player of the Year last year. Not a lot of people talked about him, and rightfully so as a freshman. He's going to be a shock this year to a lot of people. I think he had 10-8 against Duke. First half, him and Boozer were going at it. I didn't think he looked very intimidated by Boozer, and then for some reason we didn't play him at all in the second half, and then Boozer went off, even though he had a double-double in the first half. But I'm really high on this Tennessee team, and I think this is the year that we have the depth to make that Final Four run. I feel like the past 2 years, that's where we kind of lacked was depth, and then we ran into Purdue with Dalton Connect, and we just had an off night. But I love this team. I think we have ever been a talent to make the Final Four, and this is our year. This is our year. I know we say it every year, and football, basketball, and baseball, but this is our year. This is the year we do it. We're going to be hanging the banner in Thompson Bowling Arena. I'll have all the gear next year on the podcast. If I get invited back, I'm going to have the national championship gear. This is the year we do it.
If Tennessee wins a national championship, you'll never be invited back. That's a promise.
Well, if that's the case, and it was good meeting you all, I'll happily not be invited back.
Yeah, we only do bubble teams that missed the tournament the previous year.
Yeah, we like to hang in around the deep bubble. Nick, yeah, where are you at with Tennessee? The Volunteers this year. Do you see them as a contender in the SEC going into?
No, not at all. No, I'm kidding. They are really, really, really good. I think we talked about in the SEC preview how Gillespie and Nement could immediately be like the best duo in the SEC, which is massive. It's obviously a little scary when it's a transfer and a freshman who are like that, but Okpara and all the guys you mentioned, like you said, obviously losing Ziegler and Santiago Vescovi is big to me. Obviously, you know better, but the star power and the ceiling that this team can have is arguably higher than any other team, and I think that's what's encouraging. And Rick Barnes has always got it done in the tournament with Tennessee. So
yeah, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I agree. Always has.
Yeah, you consistency is the most important thing, isn't it? All right, coming back to me here. Nick, you went Illinois out of the 10. You went Purdue out of the 10. I'm going to pick the team that's going to win the Big Ten this year. Michigan Wolverines, one of the most talented rosters in the country. A lot of big transfers. Lindenberg, Cadeau coming in from North Dakota. Dusty May is a guy who I trust implicitly. He's a great head coach who took a not-so-great roster last year to a Big Ten tournament win and a lot further in the tournament than anyone expected. Give me Dusty May and the Wolverines. I think they're just as good as Purdue. I think they're above Illinois. It's basketball, so the rivalry doesn't really mean shit to me. Michigan is going to have a great year, be back to their glory. I think they're going to be a contender come March.
Where do you see them entering Big Ten play? Do you see them taking any losses in the non-con?
Yeah, I mean, they go into a huge test. I think it's about 2 weeks in the season.
Wake Forest?
No, I think it's in, like, the South. But it's not the SEC, though.
Auburn. I think it's Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
No, Auburn's on a neutral. Auburn's on a neutral.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be somebody else.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's like it's a Christian school. I think it's a religious school.
You're right.
And it's a school that is really into like the religion stuff too. And you got to give them credit for that.
Yes. Honestly, there's no way they lose that though, right? There's literally
from the results of the exhibition or secret scrimmages, I got the Horned Frogs.
It's actually a good point.
You're beating.
I agree.
Who was it? Tarleton State and an SEC team in Texas. Rivalry game too with TCU and Texas. I mean, you got to hate all the schools in Texas. Yeah. So that's a sneaky game.
It's gonna be interesting. Michigan, let's just say when Michigan loses in the Schollmeyer Arena, That's the start of the championship DVD. That's my prediction.
Okay.
They lose that game. They rally. They get it moving. That defense is going to be unreal. I do have questions about the offense, honestly. I watched them against Cincy, and it didn't look great. But Lendenberg was awesome, and Cadeau looked hella aggressive, which is a great sign. I'm in on their transition game, their defense. They're kind of the anti-Purdue, and that's what I love about them. Give me the Michigan Wolverines to win the title. And that brings us to Nick with your fourth pick, and you're gonna finish off your draft here.
Yeah, I'm going to keep rolling with the Big Ten. This is a team that you were very high on early on in the podcast game. It's kind of shocking you didn't pick them there. It's UCLA. Donovan Dent coming over from the Pit is elite. Sky Clark, like Trent Perry was a five-star, came in there last season, showed flashes. Eric Daly's coming in. They have talent. Cronin obviously struggled with the kind of lack of talent on the roster last year, but if you give Cronin talent, he's going to be able to produce. And I really like this UCLA team.
I think he honestly did everything he could with that team last year. I didn't think it was any sort of disappointment with how he produced. And I think Mick Cronin gets a bad rep because he's short and annoying. And he's a great head coach. And I would trust him. If he wanted to come over to Ohio State right now, I would lay out the Brinks truck for him. I'll say that.
You got to hate short, annoying dudes. Like, they're the worst.
I know. I've been surrounded by them since, like, freshman year of high school or something.
I agree. All right, my swing. We ready for the swing?
Bryce, got any takes on UCLA? Or? No, yeah, no.
Yeah, I think just with bringing in Donovan Dent, I think, like you said with Mick Cronin, he's a really, really good basketball coach, and then you bring in one of the best guards in the transfer portal in Donovan Dent. They're going to be right there in the Big Ten. Last year they obviously didn't get it done because they run into a very good team in the round of 32 in the Tennessee Volunteers, but as long as they don't see us in the tournament, I think they're every bit of a contender and can get it done.
They're calling it the most boring game of all time.
It was very, very not fun to watch, even as a fan. It was very slow-paced, and I don't know if that – I think the halftime score was like 30-27 or 30-24. It was miserable, so –
That's the basketball. As St. Mary's and Tennessee guys, that's what you guys love, isn't it?
You gotta love it.
Yeah.
Got to. All right, Nick. All right, we're headed down to Texas. I'm not sure exactly where this is going. I hope it's not where
we're
I think
headed
it is.
We're headed down to Texas. And we're heading down to the best conference in the nation, the Big 12. And a team that had success last year, maybe didn't get to where they wanted. Give me the Texas Tech Red Raiders. They obviously choked in the Elite Eight to Florida, probably a game they should have won. But they retained the Big 12 Player of the Year and one of the best freshmen in the conference, Christian Anderson. That alone gives you a very strong duo that they're going to be able to play off of. I question their depth and a lot that they lost because I love Darren Williams, like I said, and Chance McMillan and Elijah Hawkins. And they just have so many guys that they lost. But if you retain those two, I think that's – in today's college basketball, and with a revolving door of players every year, that's so valuable. You're bringing Lamon Watts from Wazoo, and there's a lot to like about this team, and I think I really like what Grant McCaslin can make and really produce the most out of the talent on his rosters. And again, with the comfortability of some of these guys here, especially the top two, it gives me encouragement to buy into them and to make a push.
And how long has McCaslin been the coach of Texas Tech, if you don't mind mentioning
it? What'd you say? 10 years or something?
I said last 9 years. It was a slip-up. It was early on, early pod jitters. Nick, but I'm shocked you took Texas Tech. You went on you got on your high horse when we talked Big 12, and you said you don't think they're that good. So what happened? What's the shift?
You know I go back and forth, and if I'm being completely honest, I just wanted to pick a Big 12 team because I hadn't picked one yet, and I wanted to give some love to the conference. And while I am probably higher on Arizona and Iowa State, the team with the high ceiling of those, I believe, is Texas Tech. So if we're going for a natty champ pickoff, I do believe Texas Tech is probably the best pick of those Big 12 teams to be able to do so. Because, again, they should have made the Final Four and beat Florida if they could hit a couple free throws last year in the Elite Eight. And, again, if they could beat Florida, that was a natty champ, so they could have won it all. So, yeah, I just like what they're doing and what they're building down there. They can't win in the show, though. That's a fact.
But no one can. Houston can't.
But no, Houston can't. Texas can't. It's one of the toughest places to play in college basketball. If you check Ken Palm's home court advantage rankings, you'll see.
Bryce, where are you at with Texas Tech? I think if I remember correctly, you were relatively high on this team, right?
And they were my Final Four pick to start the year. This was going to be my next pick, Texas Tech. JT Toppin is probably my dark horse player of the year candidate in the Big 12, and player of the year candidate in you know, college basketball. I like to ride on good players, and JT Toppin is one of those, and.
and that's sorry, fair. I keep,
everyone likes.
Sorry, but no, Donovan Atwell, LeJuan Watts, and JT Toppin. That's a core you can build around, and I'm super high on this Texas Tech team. That was going to be my next pick. So, Final Four for them for sure.
That's fair. I'm going to make a pick that, depending on how this draft ends up going, might make us look like we're engagement farming as hard as possible. But this is a team that I genuinely really like coming into the season. I think it's underrated. I'm actually going to go with UNC. I'm going to go with the Tar Heels and UNC with my last pick. I'm going to take a shot on the 25th team in the country going into the season, just because I think that their talent is being a little underappreciated. They bring in Luka Bogovac from Europe, who's a guy who was unbelievably efficient last year in professional basketball, averaged like 13 on 50-40-90 shooting, 60% true shooting. The guy is a legit scorer. If he gets unleashed, he's going to be really, really good for them. Kean Evans is a guy who, if you guys remember coming into the tournament last year when Colorado State went on that huge run, he was really, really good for them, and he was a massive part. And he is a legit sharpshooter alongside Bogovac, who can also shoot the shit out of it. I think that Seth Trimble is a guy who is going to be a big factor for them. If he can kind of reach another level, then that's going to be really pivotal. And then you got Henry Vassar coming in from Arizona, who's a big guy, who if he's playing, he's going to be really good. Derek Dixon is a freshman I love. And then Caleb Wilson, that name was escaping me. Caleb Wilson, obviously the five-star coming in, who I think he's being branded as he's going to be like the best player on the team and he's going to be the star. I kind of think he'd be better if he takes kind of a augmentary like side role in the offense and plays more complementary basketball and can cut off ball, shoot that short kind of short roll coming off the picks, like getting it off the catch type offense, because he is going to be so good on defense if he tries. And I think they're going to be a lot better than people think. I think the only roadblock in the way of them being really good is just Hubert Davis being a shitty head coach. And I'm going to say that he's better than people think, and that this North Carolina team is better than people think. I'm sure there's thoughts on this pick. Let's start with Bryce. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I like the roster. I'm really high on Caleb Wilson and Seth Trimble and the Arizona big that they got from the transfer portal. But kind of back to what you said, I'm not a believer in Hubert Davis, and I personally don't think they should be a top 25 team coming into the year. So I wouldn't put them in the contender list. Pretty much solely because I just don't trust Hubert Davis. He's had way too much talent there to make that miraculous national championship run a few years ago, where I think he was an 8 seed and kind of just got hot at the right time. But, you know, when they were the 1 seed, and I believe they got beat in either the round of 32 or Sweet 16, whenever it was. There's just been so much talent. And when you're the brand that they are at UNC, you're going to get that talent. I just don't think he's capitalized with it. So I just can't get behind Hubert Davis yet. He's got to show me before I do. And I think you could potentially be seeing a new basketball coach at UNC next year. So,
yeah. I mean, you got to say, even if it all goes wrong in basketball, at least their football team's on the up and up, right?
Right, yeah. Really good football team. Really good coach for college football.
To go in there and beat them.
It would. Nick, where are you at with UNC? Basketball, not football.
I think it's fascinating how you pick two ACC teams and none of them were Duke. We're sitting here, and I think the elephant in the room is, after we talked up Duke and Kambuza to start the show, I believe Duke's still on the board, which is fascinating, and I love it coming from this pod. You know, you come to the mid-range for takes, and Jacob Weiss is going to give you takes. So, yeah, I don't love UNC as a national championship contender at all, but I respect the take, and that's what I'm here for.
Sometimes you gotta fucking fire one off, dude. Like, what's gonna happen from me picking UNC? If they go to the national championship, I'm gonna look like the smartest guy on the planet. Yep. And if they don't make the tournament, no one's listening to this shit anyway. So what does it matter? If we're really being honest here.
Like, and the thing, it takes a good team and a good quarterback to go in there and win, and especially when convincing a ranked Virginia go in there and struggle to win. But yeah, I think Josh Hoover played significantly well, and I think he's a guy who can look to be a dark horse Heisman contender at the start of next season.
Yeah, we'll get that. We'll sneak that take in there as well. As we go into our final pick, and Bryce, if you could go with who Nikki just lamented about,
I'm gonna go with Duke here. To leave them on the board would be dumb. So I'm gonna go with Duke. From what I saw against Tennessee in the exhibition, Cam Boozer is one of the best players in the country. He's gonna be a dominant force in the ACC. I think they have the roster to win the national championship. Dame Saar really stood out to me the other night. Caleb Foster, Isaiah Evans, Malik Brown. Like you said at the beginning, John Shire did it again. He hit with the freshman and Cam Boozer, and just like he did with Flag last year. So this Duke team's one of the best teams in the country, if not the best, and they are probably going to be there right in the Final Four talk and could be cutting down the nets.
Yeah, Duke's always a contender. I was kind of hoping they'd just make it off the lists. Well, I was – so on that note, we don't really have to talk. I mean, Duke's a contender. They made it last. I thought it would be funny. I wasn't going to pick him no matter what, but it's a good pick, of course. Bryce, you let me know if you're all right with this. I think Nikki and I should get TCU and Ohio State as like an honorary sixth team. And then you should pick an honorary sixth team that's outside of the top 30 or outside of the top 25 range. So you get one like long shot. Nikki gets TCU. I get Ohio State.
Okay. Good with that.
So I'll give you the floor to pick whenever you think.
Okay. Let me see here.
We all pick a mid-major, too.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to go Let's go NC State. Will Wade, NC State.
I love it.
And one of those really good basketball coaches and just really, really good humans as well. He was, you know, paying the players before paying the players was legal, and he was ahead of the curve. So you got to shout that out to him. And if he would have never got caught, LSU would be probably good at basketball, but he did get caught and now they suck. So, but bringing in,
they've got football.
But just with the guys that he brought with him from McNeese and bringing in, you know, arguably one of the better players in the Big 12 last year in Darren Williams, NC State's going to be one of those sneaky teams in the ACC that I think is right at that second tier. I think they're personally better than UNC. But I love Will Wade as a coach, and I love Darren Williams as a basketball player. So I'm actually really high on NC State going into the year.
I completely agree. D5, when you come from the Bay Area, there's a special basketball town and a special basketball mind that it takes to come from there and then to get bred in the Big 12 and really tough it out. Like, D5 is the guy you want to bet on. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And I think we can both agree, Bryce, like, UNC was a horrible pick.
Yeah, that
NC State there.
Yeah.
Over Duke, over so many great SEC teams.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, that like you said, he's either going to look really, really smart or hopefully just nobody hears it. So
we'll clip
it. Yeah, and I think it's one of those things that I love it. And I love being the enemy. I love being the bad guy. And I'll go to war for UNC, who's a team that, you know, just doesn't get – they haven't gotten to win that much. So, like, when they get the opportunity and you see a chance for them, you got to be high on them coming into the year. Should we take this opportunity? I'll take this opportunity to talk about my sixth pick, Ohio State. Ohio State's going to be really good. I really do. Like, I am so enthusiastic about this team with Noel and Tilly at the front court, and then Royal moving to the three is just, like, such a – so it's like our, like, kind of a Draymond-type all-around player for us that can do everything. And then you got Mobley and Thornton in the backcourt. It's one of the best backcourts in the country. That is not an exaggeration. That is a fact. They're going to be hopefully top 25 by the time Big Ten play starts. And why not at least win a tournament game? At least let's make the tournament because it's been torture the last couple of years. Buckeye Land and – and their women's team is really good, I think.
They're fringe.
Who beat the women's team last year, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, Jacob, who was it?
Just out of curiosity. I forgot.
It's something that I mean, I watched every second of the game, so I remember it was Tennessee.
Oh, that's correct? Right. I thought it was. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah. Women's team
is further? And I'm a women's basketball guy. Honestly, over – like, we talk about men's, but I don't give a fuck about men's college basketball. I'm a women's guy.
I genuinely want to do a women's basketball preview if any of y'all are down before the season starts. Or the season starts next Thursday. I think maybe first pod, maybe we get a guest on for that.
I don't think I'd be your guy for the women's basketball side, I'm going to be honest.
Should we all pick one woman team?
Well, I can imagine what team we'd pick. I mean, like... Yeah, okay, we all pick one women's team. I'll take Florida A&M.
Do they have a program?
Probably. They're an FCS football team, aren't they? Or are they... whatever, who cares? Is that HBCU? I think it is.
Yeah.
And much respect to them.
You know who their men's coach is?
Who?
Charlie Ward.
Oh, the Heisman.
Heisman Trophy winner, Charlie Ward.
Yes.
Daughter went to TCU.
That's incredible.
Sorry. I thought that was a fun fact.
That was good. I hope she hears this. Nick, I'll give you a chance to talk about your sixth pick, and then we'll do a mid-major round too. Screw it, let's go for it, because I got a mid-major I'd love to talk about. So, Nick, talk about your team and then talk about mid-major.
We don't need to take up time. I will have enough talking about my team. I think I talked enough about him at the start. We can move on. We're an hour and a half in.
I'm gonna say right now, let's just finish up teams. Let's end the episode for now, and then we'll hop back on another time later this week. We'll do players, and I'll post the episode on Friday, since we're only doing one this week anyway.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about players. We'll do players another time.
And we'll do a big one. We'll just post a big one on Friday, like final preseason episode. Because games are on Monday. And this is all staying in, too, because no one's listening at this point anyway, as I said earlier. That's what we love. All right, Nick. Let's go mid. Let's do the mid majors, and we'll sign off for now. Let's hear it. Let's go with your pick.
I mean, you know who I'm going with my mid major. I'm going with the Gaels. If you look at what they did against Ole Miss, another SEC team, going into Oxford and getting a big win there this weekend, and then playing tough against a Big 12 team, I think that's another good representation of you know, you play a Big 12 team in Arizona, you play a good SEC team. St. Mary's lost to one of them, beat one of them. They have Mikey Lewis coming back. He's one of the top mid-major players in the country. No one's talking about Paulus Moraskis, Harry Wessels. And then they have a lot of guys that they weren't on anybody's radar, but their camp is low-key. Everyone's been talking about it. Everyone's talking about their camp leading into the season and how these guys are coming along faster than you would have thought, like freshmen like Dylan Shaw and then a retro freshman and Liam Campbell, and Trent McLean's a good freshman as well, Tony Duckett coming in from San Diego. They have dudes that nobody knows about. And, yeah, I think they're going to be legit, and it's very homer pick, but I do use bet on Randy Bennett to have success.
Yeah, and St. Mary's is not really a mid-major, so that's kind of a bullshit pick, but I knew that's where you were going to go with
They're
it.
They're as mid-major as it gets.
I don't think the WCC is mid-major.
I appreciate
WCC, the WCC and the A-10 are pushing a different, or in a different crowd, and then
no,
the mid-major, but that's fine. That's it's always a suggestion.
I do appreciate that respect.
Yeah. It's a exactly. It's a sign of love. It's, you know, I'm a St. Mary's guy too. You know, I love St. Mary's.
Yeah, no, you've been giving
I was
a lot
there.
Of love.
I was there when Sam Merrill tried to come into Moraga's house, ranked 21st in the country, tried to beat Malik Fitz and Jordan Ford in Moraga, and I watched that game, and I still have the shirt to this day. So, you know, I love St. Mary's.
We are.
Any thoughts on St. Mary's, Bryce? Is that a team you like?
Yeah, I don't have too much to say on St. Mary's, to be honest with you. I haven't done a ton of research on the mid-major level. And like Jacob said, I don't really consider St. Mary's and Gonzaga and those teams really at the level of the mid-major. Because every year you look at St. Mary's and you look at Gonzaga, and they always have teams that are – most people are picking them in their bracket to win, you know, a game or two. It always happens.
So I
don't know enough about them to really have an opinion, but I can guarantee you they're going to be good. So I'm sure St. Mary's going to be a good basketball team.
Yeah. Going with a mid-major pick that's getting votes preseason is definitely a little Mickey Mouse, but it's fine. I'm going to go with a deep cut.
You knew what I was doing. You knew what
I did. Was I did.
Let's
I knew
not
exactly
act like
what you were doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with my mid-major team, which is a true mid-major and really far down the list. I'm going to go with Miami of Ohio, who I think is awesome just for the sheer reason that they have Peter Suter, who is like a sharpshooting shooting guard for them that I watched live last year. I talked about this when we had Rocco Miller on, but I went to the MAC championship last year. I just happened to be in Cleveland when it happened. I was literally at the casino next door. Decided to go over for the game. Got to watch Peter Suter in Miami of Ohio. I fell in love right there, and they're like, I think they're top 12 team in the preseason mid-major rankings that Rocco does, and they do over at the mid-major pod, and they're my team just purely because of Peter Suter, and if we're doing a mid-major, I'm going to pick a real one, and I'm not just going to go with, like, Gonzaga, like Nikki would have, but to each their own.
That's fair.
Bryce, I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts on Miami of Ohio, but we're obviously trying to wrap
Yeah, another one I don't have a ton of thoughts on, so, yeah, really good basketball.
You'll learn. All right, what do you think, Bryce? Who do you have? Do you have any mid-major team to watch?
I'm going to go, you know, kind of lower, and people might not even know a ton about, but I'm going to go UTC. Let's go the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, the Mocs. Don't know a ton on them. I know they're always, you know, one of the top SoCon teams in the country. Looking at the roster right now, we got Brendan Watkins, Tate Darner, Sebastian Hartman, you know, Parker Robinson. They're always a top team in the SoCon, and the SoCon's, you know, never a terrible league. I know back in, you know, a few years ago, they had some really good teams with Wofford and ETSU and with Pat Good and what was his name that went to Wofford? He could shoot the lights out, but I can't
Fletcher
think. Fletcher
McGee.
Fletcher McGee, that's who it was.
What conference are you talking about?
SoCon. Oh, no.
No. I wasn't even doing a joke. I was genuinely kidding.
He was just asking. I mean, generally.
Yeah, that conference is really good.
That's perfect. What a perfect way to wrap up the pod. That was just lovely. What an episode. Let's do a quick run through. No conversation. I'll just run through the teams. Nick went with Purdue, Kentucky, Illinois, UCLA, Tech, and then he's got TCU and St. Mary's as his extras. I have Houston, St. John's, Louisville, Michigan, UNC, and then I get OSU and Miami of Ohio, a heavy Ohio extra group there. And then Bryce goes with Florida, UConn, BYU, Tennessee, Duke, NC State, and UT Chattanooga to finish it off. Beautiful, fellas. Beautiful. We will take a break right here, and we'll get back to it with the players at a later time, and the full pod will come out on Friday. Yeah, great. All right, I'm going to end it. And then I'll just cut it off right when I said